Certainly, we thank God for blessing us beyond enumeration. He has blessed us, not that we deserve it, but because of who He is. And it's wonderful to be blessed by the Lord. It's another day's journey, and I'm glad about it. Amen. It's good to be alive, alert, and active. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. I'm elated and excited to have you here with us on this evening. A lot is happening today. Matter of fact, this is election day, and you have voted early, so you can be here prayerfully that God will intervene and God would have His way through persons that He will place in charge and place in leadership position to lead us. We are to pray for leaders. The Bible says in 1 Timothy that we are to pray for kings. We know that to be equivalent to presidents. And certainly we are to pray for those who are in governmental position. Amen. Let us posture our hearts for the reception of God's word. Psalms 25. Psalms 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation, my deliverance. On thee do I wait all the day. Matthew 26. And for sake of time, let me just read verses 57 through 68. We know that verses 47 to 56, we will rehash or recap what we have shared on last week. But for the sake of time, let me just read verses 57 through 56. Come on in and join us, if you will. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two witnesses, or false witnesses, and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee. But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? The word of the Lord for the people of God, the word is blessed. I want to talk about Jesus before the council. Jesus before the council. Jesus before the council. Matthew chapter 26 brings us closer to the passion of Christ. Jesus and the 12 disciples have gathered in the upper room. Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. They have eaten the Last Supper together. Judas left to make final arrangements with the chief priests. The Lord's Supper has been instituted. Jesus has finished his last teaching section with the remaining disciples. They have gone to the Garden of Gethsemane, wherein Jesus has prayed 3 times for the removal of the cup, but has come to the resolve, to the point that he said unto his Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus submitted himself to his Father's will. After prayer, and as they were going, they were confronted by a mob or multitude of people. That there were possibly 800 to 1,000 people in the crowd. Some interested in Jesus being arrested. Others there as tag-alongs to spectate, to see, would Jesus be arrested? Religious leaders provoking and pushing because their primary agenda was to snip out what they felt was opposition to their popularity. Jesus is arrested. He's arrested. Here we see in the arrest Jesus and Judas, because Judas had already made an agreement with the religious leaders to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, that he would identify Jesus to the Roman soldiers by way of a kiss. Notice, if you will, verses 47 through 50. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomsoever or whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greeting, Rabbi, and kissed him. Kissed him. What a sign. Kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" He kissed Jesus. He betrayed Jesus with a kiss. A kiss of treachery. A kiss of infidelity. A kiss of disloyalty. A kiss of duplicity, falseness, bad faith, double dealing, stab in the back. He betrayed Jesus with a kiss. The kiss was everything but holy. It was a hellish kiss. He kissed Jesus to point Jesus out. Now, he betrayed him. He betrayed Jesus. Paradidomi in the Greek, which means to give over, to give into the hands of another, to judge, to be judged, to condemn, to punish, to scourge, to torment, to put to death. Judas greeted Jesus with a pretentious kiss, a pretentious warmth and devotion. So he approached Jesus as if he was for Jesus, but all the while he was against Jesus. He had to point him out because the Roman soldiers did not know Jesus. They had very little dealings with Jesus. So it wasn't the crowd, because the crowd knew him. He had served the crowd. He had healed the crowd. He had performed miracles among the crowd. So the crowd knew Jesus, but the Roman soldiers did not know him. So it was necessary for Judas to kiss him so that the Roman soldiers could apprehend the right person. So he kissed him. And they laid hold of him, had laid hold on him, and they led him to Anna's house before they led him to Caiaphas's house. So we know from the narrative that after Jesus was arrested, Peter got angry, drew his sword, cut off Malchus' ear. Jesus reached down and got the ear and put it back on Malchus' head. He performed a miracle in opposition. There's a message in that. That you don't stop doing good because you're opposed. I think y'all need to let that work in your spirit. Jesus, even in being arrested, being opposed, he performed a miracle. He performed a miracle. He did good in the midst and in the face of opposition. Let me tell you what you can't afford to do. If you're going to represent God in life, you can't afford to stoop to your enemy's level. Listen, when they decide to go low, you stay high. Jesus performed this miracle. He reached down and got the ear off the ground and put it back in place on Malchus' head, which reveals also that Jesus could have performed a miracle to escape the soldiers. But instead, he submitted himself to the will of his father, because it had been predetermined that he would be put to death in this fashion. That he would die by way of crucifixion. He would not die by way of a chariot accident. He would not die by way of an arrow piercing his heart. He would not die by way of someone smoting him on the head with the club, killing him that way. No, he would die by way of Roman crucifixion. He submitted himself. Now, here it is. Jesus is in the presence of his accusers. He's in the presence of the high priests and elders. And we know from scripture that this meeting has been prearranged. Now, here is where you see organized opposition at its best. Now, if I had time, I would tell you how you need to approach organized opposition. When people have a meeting structured and organized before you get there. They thinking they are setting you up, but they don't know that God is setting you up. You have to know who's in charge. Now, this conjuring of the elders and chief priests, the Sanhedrin council, had been prearranged. And so now, by way of Matthew's, we see the second examination. But there's an examination that takes place before he's led to the palace of Caiaphas. Now, that's a preliminary examination before Annas that happened, that's not mentioned by the three synoptists. So there was a meeting before the meeting that he was examined by Annas before he was examined by Caiaphas. Now, Annas' palace was near the place Jesus was arrested. And he had vast influence among the Romans, so it was easy for him to persuade the Roman soldiers to bring Jesus by his house. Now, let me pause to tell you. Now, there are three religious courts or examinations, and then there are three Roman government examinations. So a total of six. Now we see two of the three in our study in John chapter 18. That's the first. And then in Matthew chapter 26 is the second. So you have three religious examinations, and you have three Roman government examinations. Are y'all okay? All right, now let's look at Annas. That in John chapter 18, verses 13, 19 through 24 say, and they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. And Jesus answered him, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always met. And in secret, I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said. And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, do you answer the high priest like that? Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me? Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. So he appeared before Annas, the father-in-law of Caiaphas, before he appeared before the Sanhedrin council in Caiaphas's palace. Now, this was unjust. The two preliminary inquiries were unjust. Innocent Jesus declared guilty, and guilty people declared innocent. Now, I want you to work that in your spirit, because this is what happens most of the time, that innocent people are declared guilty, and guilty people are declared innocent. Work that in your spirit. It happened to Jesus, and if it happened to Jesus, it'll happen to you. Have you ever been lied on? And you had no one to plead your case? Notice Jesus says, I have spoken openly, and you can ask the people that I have spoken to and spoken with and shared the word with that I did not have some hidden agenda. That it was not blasphemy. It was not against God. I even taught in your synagogues where you are. But yet, guilty people made Jesus or declared him guilty. Isn't that something? Now, you can't expect people to come and represent you, especially in the court of public opinion. Now, can I help you with something? People want to believe what they want to believe. And let me help you now. Let me help you a little further than that. And the more you call yourself explaining, the less convincing you are to them. Jesus didn't say a whole lot. He just stood before the council, and they spoke and spoke and said and said. And when he responded, they said that he responded in offense, that he offended the high priest. And one of the servants of the high priest smote him with the palm of his hand. In other words, he slapped him. It wasn't a fist, you know, tight fist. It was an open-handed hit. So he slapped him. Now, here's the attempt. The frantic effort to locate false witnesses against Jesus. You know, when people are trying to build a case, they recruit. Well, y'all quiet tonight. You know, when they're trying to build a case against you, you know, they want to see how everybody else feel about you. And most of the time they'll go and say, did you hear? Or did you see? And boy, if they mess around and say, yeah, I'm telling you now. They recruited. They got somebody on the team. Because listen, when people are out with you, you know, it's just something that, you know, they want everybody else to be out with you. Boy, I just feel something coming up on me. Ooh, I feel something coming up on me. You know, so many folk, you know, want to be out with New Bethlehem, and they want everybody else to be out. And you know, when folks won't you know, to be out with New Bethlehem, and they want everybody else to be out with New Bethlehem, they just want to hear something bad. You know, they'll do that with your life. You know, when they're out with you, they don't want to hear nothing positive now. You want to anger your enemies, go and tell them about something good that's happening to the person that they don't like. Y'all didn't see that in this lesson, did you? It was frantic effort to locate false witnesses. Notice what happened in verses 57 through 59. And those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard. And he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. Now, what they were doing, they were making things up because they could not condemn him with truth because he is truth. So they were making up fraudulent things. They were telling lies, false accusing him. So there was a frantic effort to locate false witnesses. You know, you see it on television shows and in court all the time. You know, if a person is in trouble and they are offered a lighter sentence, or they are offered, you know, clemency, if they would testify against, and it don't always be truth, because out of desperation, people will say whatever you want them to say. Are y'all in here with me? So we see it all the time, and we see it now here in the case of Jesus being before the Sanhedrin council. They sought false witnesses against him. But then notice the futile efforts to locate false witnesses against Jesus. Verses 60 and 61, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. No two people could agree in their testimony. They found none. But at last, two false witnesses came and said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. I'm able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. So with that, the Sanhedrin council decided on Jesus' death. Now that's something mighty light to kill someone over. Mighty light. It don't have to be deep stuff now to put people out with you. It don't have to be something real deep, you know. It can be something so surface. It don't have to be something heavy. It can be something so light. You know, I've had people say to me, you know, well, I don't like you because, you know, one day we were at this place and you just act like you didn't see me. I said, well, you don't know what I had on my mind. And sometimes seeing, we don't see. You know, you can be zoned out. You can be thinking on something so where, you know, you're not conscious of what's going on around you, nor the people around you. But, you know, when people, you know, they want to be out with you, they don't need much. You know, they don't need much now. He said, now, you said you're going to destroy the temple. And you're going to build it back in 3 days. He's worried of death because he's trying to tear down our temple. And he wasn't even talking about the temple, the physical temple.
Amen.
That they worship in, he was talking about his body.
Amen.
And they saw this as a reason to put him to death. Something so surface and light. I'm trying to help you now. I need y'all to be with me tonight. That it don't have to be deep now. You around there trying to figure out what you did and what you said. You know what happened from last week to this week? Why did she come in the church and go all around the other way? Why did he come in and go all the way around the other way? Normally he would come by and say, "What's up?" Why did he just all of a sudden stop calling? We talked every day. Matter of fact, we shared our homework notes. What happened? I used to take pies over there. I used to go across the yard and ask for some Kool-Aid and some sugar. Now when they get out of the car, they don't even say hello, and I can't say hello. And what has happened? Folks, you know, don't have to have something real deep and heavy. That it can be small, minute, insignificant things. Something you say that'll rub somebody the wrong way, and they'll be out with you for the rest of your life or their life.
Amen. Amen.
This attempt. I got to quit now. This attempt. But then there's an affirmation. Verses 62-64. And the high priest rose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Now, in anger, the high priest, you know, rose up and tried to force Jesus to criminate himself. Now, watch the text, because Jesus held his peace. He said nothing. Now, you don't have to always give an answer, because sometimes people ask you loaded questions. Y'all know what a loaded question is, don't you? You know, they're trying to set you up. You know, my wife, she sometimes she asks me loaded questions. She already know what she want me to say, but she want to hear me say it. And so when she asks me the loaded questions, you know what my response is? "What you getting at?" I just helped some brother in here tonight. What you getting at? What you really asking me? What you really want to know? You know, question like, you know, while you're on your way home, are you hungry? Yeah, I'm hungry. Then they ask, she asks something like, what you want? Don't even answer. Don't even answer. You just tell her, what you want to stop? What do you want to stop? What do you want? Because everything you say, she don't want it. Y'all fellas can't help me. See, everything Jesus said, the high priests and the elders didn't want it. I asked him one time, you want some taco? No. I said, well, what about Burger King? Oh, no. I said, well, what about some Captain D's? I had Captain D's last night. I said, well, what you want then? And then she'll say, what about a particular restaurant? And then when I get close to the restaurant, she said, what about another one? Loaded. Loaded questions. See, they asked Jesus loaded questions. They had already settled on a guilty verdict before they went into the long drawn out examination. See, when your enemies have it out for you, they already have their answer in mind. And regardless of what you say, they don't accept your answer. Because they already got something in mind. They didn't want to hear Jesus say anything about the temple. They knew he couldn't deny who he was and who he is. So when they ask him, are you the Son of God? Then he had to answer yes. Now why? Because Leviticus 5 verse 1 says that if a person sins because he does not speak up when he hears a public charge to testify regarding something he has seen or learned about, he will be held responsible. In other words, he put him on the oath, and Jesus spoke out. And notice the agreement. After the affirmation, notice the agreement in verses 65 and 66. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. In other words, he has spoken against God. What further need do we have of witnesses? We can dismiss every witnesses because we have heard for ourselves that Jesus say he is God. That's what they felt he blasphemed with, that he is God, and he is God. He didn't speak against God because he is God. He says, look now. You have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? They answered and said, he is deserving of death. Now, from this point, you know, he's going to be led to Roman courts. Three Roman courts, because the Jews didn't have the power to put anyone to death because they were not in charge. Rome was in charge. So they could not execute Jesus based on what they received from their thorough examination. So now they had to make it seem as if Jesus was trying to overthrow Roman government. See how shifty it is? That when people have it out for you, what they'll do is shift. They'll shift things in their favor. I'm saying something now. This is election day now. You know, when folks want something so bad and they know they can't defeat you or beat you straight out, what they'll do is try to stack situations and circumstances and stack the deck, so to speak, to their advantage. They went from one thing to another. Here's the salt, and I'm finished. After Jesus said, "I am as you said," they spit on him. Now, some of you thought the worst has happened to you already. Some of you have suffered some terrible things. But you have not suffered to the degree that Christ has suffered.
Amen.
To be spat on and not retaliate. See, when I was reading it, some of you start clutching your fists. Because that's some kind of an insult, contempt against you. Somebody to spit on you in your face. They spat on his face. And then it goes on to say they struck him. Now, that's just the first time. Because the next time, it's continuous, which means they hit him more than one time. Are y'all here? But all of this was done to fulfill prophecy. Whew. Notice in Job 16, verse 10. They have grabbed upon me with their mouth. They have smitten me upon the cheek reproachfully. They have gathered themselves together against me. That's Job. Notice Isaiah 50, verse 6. I gave my back to those who struck me. My cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. You know, when you're with the Lord, you have to take some stuff. Boy, I'm trying to work this in your spirit. You know, because the Lord says some heavy stuff to us now. You know, he says some heavy stuff to us to keep us from being so retaliatory. You know, he says some heavy stuff to us. And you know, when you're a Christian, you got to take a whole lot of stuff now. You know, for the name sake of God, you have to take a lot of stuff. That you can't be so quick to get back at folks. If one slapped you on one cheek, turn the other to him. I hear you. I hadn't gotten there yet, Reverend. I'm doing my best, but I'm not there yet. I hear you. You know, if one take you to court, and sue you for your coat. Give him your cloak as well. Ooh. You done almost brought me to shame, and give him the rest of it. My God. To bid you to go 1 mile. Go with him, twain. Go the extra mile with your enemy. I can go further than in Romans 12. He says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him.
Amen.
If they're naked, clothe them. If they're thirsty, give them drink. And he says, in doing so, you heap coals of fire on their head. In other words, they see their own guilt. See, you mess that up when you try to get even. Jesus didn't try to get even. He didn't try to retaliate. He didn't try to get revenge. He submitted himself to the will of his Father. Let me help you. See, when you tap into the will of God for your life, don't you let people around you distract you. Amen. Through treatment, mistreatment, or whatever else they can do. You have to stay focused on the will of God and watch God work in your favor. Because Jesus is heading up to crucifixion. But what his enemies didn't know, there's a resurrection. Y'all miss that. There's a resurrection. There's a getting up. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your blessings. Lord, we thank you for the principles that we have gleaned, that we are to make practical in our lives, that we are to be Christ-like. Humble ourselves under your will, and even in the most gross of opposition, Lord, help us to remain focused on you and stay true to your will for our lives. Bless us as your people. Increase us, we pray. Lord, that our outreach, Lord, will be extended, that others will come to know you, that our upreach will be increased, that you get the praise and honor and glory you deserve, that our inreach, Lord, will be increased, that we as your people will be edified, Lord, to do your will, that we will mature and grow up and do great things because you said it in your word, that greater things we should do. Lord, bless, Lord, government. You put in place who you will have to lead. And we say yes, even without full understanding, we say yes because we trust you. We trust you and we know that you are in charge. Bless us, Lord. Move us forward. Move us higher. In Jesus' name. Bless the Moman family. Bless Reverend Moman as he prepare himself to speak and preach on Saturday. Bless me as I prepare to speak and preach on Thursday. Bless the Gooden family. Bless, Lord, all of our members, sick and shut in, those who are here and those who are watching virtually, those who are in various places watching the polls and doing other things, give them your grace and your mercies in Jesus' name. Amen.